Hello and welcome to Live Love by Design TV. I'm Karen Chaston, the founder of Live Love by Design, the host and executive producer of this amazing TV show, a place where you will learn to live and love each and every day, to love who you are, to love your life and to create your dreams faster. And today I have another amazing guest. I just love the people who come to me so that I can share on this show these people, what they're doing in the world, what difference they are making. And today it is the beautiful Maria Paterakis. Welcome, Maria.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Karen.
I am so glad. You are going to be a most amazing guest. I just know you are. Now, Maria is the host and producer of Retiring with Joy TV, a show that supports women, yes, women, go girls, to live with passion, purpose and vitality, not only before they or after they retire, but building up to it so that they can live and love their life. So tell us a little bit more about that, Maria.
So I'm also a women's counsellor, which is the real foundation of where this idea came from. I wanted to create a program that helped women transition into their retirement, because I think that women, we kind of have some very unique pitfalls that we can fall into if we're not careful. And I want women to really enjoy their retirement. I guess it came from watching a lot of women around me when I was growing up do that transition and not be living the life that they want.
I totally understand. There are so many people who are living on Social Security, their pension is what it's called in Australia, and they really are not thriving. Sometimes they're just merely surviving, aren't they?
They are, but also for women, there are some emotional, social pitfalls that you might even have the funds to retire, mm-hmm. but you still fall into these pitfalls because you're not prepared for the emotional transition that needs to come with retirement.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. But I want to go back because I'm a great believer of who we are today is the sum of all of our experiences.
Absolutely.
So we're going to go back. So I'm going to go the little, you know, the little time machine. We're going to go back to Maria and your inner child. So tell
me. Do we want to do that? Really?
Of course we do.
Let's go there.
So Maria, who were you as a child? Like, give me a little bit of your background, you know, where you came in the family, all those sort of things. Just briefly.
Okay, so I am the oldest of three girls. I was born in Darwin, the Northern Territory. I like to say I was conceived, born and bred there. Mm-hmm. And I lived there well into my 30s.
Just a sec, were you in Darwin, were you born before or after Cyclone Tracy?
I was nearly 2 years old when Cyclone Tracy hit.
So you were aware of it then?
Yeah, I don't really remember it, but I remember senses about it. And, you know, in work that I've done to heal myself and grow as a person, because you need to in my industry, you can't be carrying your baggage because it can end up on your clients. Mm-hmm. A few things have come up about Cyclone Tracy.
I'm sure it would have. The devastation of the, for people who weren't around at that time, which was, I think it was 73, was it? Around there anyway.
74.
I was close. That was pretty
really,
close.
End of 74, almost 75.
Because it was Christmas. I remember it was very much a Christmas time. And for people who don't know, who don't live in Australia or weren't around at that time, all of Darwin was more or less wiped out by the cyclone.
Yeah.
At Christmas time.
And our story is that we lived in a series of apartments that my family owned. And we were in the first one, and being Christmas Eve, the men were playing cards in the last one, and having their drinks, and they couldn't hear the wind the way we could. Oh. And they weren't taking as the times are, and the generation and the culture, because in case you hadn't gathered by Paterakis, my last name is Greek, they weren't taking the ladies very seriously about needing to move. So by the time we did move, our apartment was half full of water. We had a power pole sparking into the apartment. And when we were leaving, so it was just me and my younger, well, my second sister, because the third sister came after. Yes. As we were leaving, the roof flew off, and it flew off backwards. Luckily, if it had flown off forwards, it would have crushed us. And we spent Cyclone Tracy in a row of cars against a wall at the school next door.
Oh, my God. Now, I don't want to go into this too much, but this is quite interesting. So how did they know that was the safe place to be?
Well, it was just the only place they could see that could shield the cars from the wind.
Oh,
more
wow.
Than anything else. It was just about where can we go? And it was like, because it was nearly everyone in that apartment block, and a lot of them, well, not all of them, but some of them were, you know, Greek heritage as well. So it was all about, you know, all these people were like, we had nowhere to go. We couldn't get there fast enough.
Yeah. Now, I can understand why this would affect you, even though you don't consciously remember it. Mm. Obviously, from a subconscious, unconscious perspective, it would be very much in your psyche, seeing the devastation of the area and then being part of the rebuild of that, because I know a lot of people left Darwin at that time and did not choose to rebuild.
No, well, we stayed. We went interstate. My mum, my sister and I, my aunt and my cousin were sent to Adelaide, and my dad and his brothers stayed, and uncle, and, you know, they all just stayed and rebuilt.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just that I was separated from my dad after a trauma. I lost all of my toys. I was the firstborn girl in the family in Australia, and I was the first one to get my grandmother's name. So there was, like, there's one photo that remains of me at my first birthday, and you can barely see me amongst the toys.
Oh, my God.
So I lost all of those, and I never really had a teddy after that. So there's all these really... you know how people had security blanket animals?
Yep.
I never had that.
Neither did I, but that's another story.
Yeah, but I don't know if that would have been different if Cyclone Tracy hadn't come along. I just don't know.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so I lost, you know, big giraffes and rocking horses and all these amazing things.
So this, I can understand then why you have retiring with joy, because obviously joy is important to you. Because you had the joy, and then obviously it was, you know, taken away from you. So then let's move on a few years.
Yes.
So so obviously you rebuilt in that area, and then you is there anything else that you want to sort of touch on, you know, in your growing years, your high school years, or why you...
Yeah, well, you know, the other sister came along, so there was three of us now, and we were living in a really nice, comfortable home in one of the suburbs. And my dad had a concreting business, so the cyclone obviously affected all of us. Any leftover concrete, he would bring over and fill the walls. So yeah. We live in a concrete bunker with Greek arches. It's great.
Okay.
But it's the house that we all go to.
My big fat Greek wedding? Is this what we're doing?
My mother got very upset at that movie. And she
goes, why?
That's not that.
Hilarious of me.
That's not that. We don't do that. I'm like, yeah, we do.
It was pretty accurate. It was accurate. Actually, you look a little bit like the lady who starred in that. And she wrote it too, didn't she?
Well, I've been confused with Elle McFeast as well. So you take your
pick. Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that too. It was interesting times. But I had my cousins around me growing up, and we had a lot of extended family. Friends that we considered family. Mm-hmm. But, you know, school, I loved making friends. I loved being around people. In fact, school was one of my favourite things to do, except for bullying. I was quite intensely bullied all the way through school.
And why was that?
My weight, my appearance.
Yeah.
The fact that I was Greek, mm-hmm. You know, it was the days when we used to get called WOG a lot, and not in a nice way. I really appreciate... what Effie and Nick did in Acropolis Now,
yes.
to get that term and for us to strangle it back just for us, you know, it's a running joke amongst us that a lot of people aren't allowed to use, and that's good
mm-hmm.
because it used to be quite
painful. The Greeks and the Italians were definitely called that.
I
can also remember speaking to a Greek friend of mine. Oh, he was in his 30s. and his name was Nick. And he said that he was bullied at school, but he was always called F Nick, never Nick. And I thought, and he said it was quite traumatic. I said, yeah, I can understand that. I said, but it is pretty clever when you think about it. He goes, yeah, as a 30-year-old, I think it's clever, but as a 8-year-old, I did not think it was clever.
Yeah, well, they thought they were clever too when they were calling me Fatarakis, but it was it was almost like bringing my ethnicity and my appearance together and shaming me for both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when you're in school, you don't realise that's what you're doing to someone. But these things, it took a long time to just go, it is where it is. But I think that, you know, you can. I'm not upset with those people anymore, and I have done a lot of.
Have you forgiven them?
Absolutely. They were children.
Good on you, because that's a really important thing, to forgive yourself and to forgive others. I mean, that's what people forget. They carry these grudges and they get angry at these people, whereas they realise it comes down to, you know, they don't even remember it. Like, they're not even aware of it. So it's time for you to forgive yourself and to forgive them.
And you know, I teased someone. I used to go to Greek school, and I teased someone so bad one day he punched me in the eye. So I'm not innocent either, and not that his violence was acceptable in any way. But, you know, we were kids and we were doing things that we thought were funny. And if we can do it to someone, someone can do it to us. And we've got to forgive the other people, and we've got to forgive ourselves for our hand in it. We're children.
Yes.
We know better as we get older. And I guess my bigger issue is not with children who bully. It starts there, but it's those who then keep it going and they do it in the workplace to others. That's where my I had that happen to me as well. I was bullied through quite a bit of my workplace history too. And now in my work, I'm meeting women who have been bullied out of the workplace by younger women because they either want their positions or they don't appreciate their information or whatever's going on for that person. They might remind them of their mother or their grandmother or someone they don't like. But there's women who are being who are older who are being bullied out of the workplace, and then these women are stuck and they're in their 50s or they've been retired soon and they weren't expecting that transition and they're in shock.
Yes, I can understand that. And that's what comes back to the Live, Love by Design and mm-hmm. the four pillars that we love to touch on, especially when we're in these sort of conversations. And it does come back to the very first one, which is the all about you. Mm-hmm. Now, when you know who you are and you know where you're going, it's not that easy for people to bully you.
No.
You are confident in who you are. You have your self-worth, your self-esteem, and you understand that the stuff is their stuff, not yours. So you don't take it on. You may politely turn around and say, do you realize that what you're doing is about you? And because you have very low self-esteem, you feel that it is okay to bully other people.
And some people feel like there's an entitlement as well for them because they think they might be better than you. There's an entitlement for them to be treating you the way they do. I've worked in politics and in senior management. I've had worked closely with senior managers in all sorts of departments as well, and it's quite interesting to watch the people who bully out of entitlement.
Yes. So, but that also, in my opinion, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, comes back to the people who feel they're entitled to things are normally the ones who deep inside are not that loving of themselves.
No.
And that's why they bully other people. They don't understand that the more I love who I am, the more I can love everyone else and the more I can have better relationships, which is the second pillar of Live Love by Design. All about your relationships.
Absolutely.
And that's what people just don't understand a lot of the time, which is why I love speaking to people like you, to show how simple it is to actually live a life where you really do love who you are and love your life.
And when you love who you are and love your life, then everyone else benefits from that you love as well. And I think that as women, sometimes we can get stuck and we think we've got to give. We leave the cup half empty for ourselves. Yes. But what we don't realise is that we're leaving ourselves half empty for everyone else too. And we're not able to have the kinds of relationships we want to have.
That's right, because we're burnt out from just giving and you know, and I've said this many times, when you are saying yes to other people, you need to make sure that you're not saying no to yourself.
Yes.
Because a lot of the time we do say no to ourselves and we wonder why we end up in resentment and depleted and what about me? When am I going to have my time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when are you going to have your time? And some people say, I'll do that at retirement.
But you won't.
But you won't because you're not happy
now. Now is the best time in the world. As everyone knows, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. And the second best time is right now.
Yeah.
So now's the time, which is what I love about your retirement with Joy, is you are planting seeds for these women so that they can ensure that their retirement is going to be full of joy, that they are going to have passion and purpose and vitality. You know, how many people, I know so many people, and actually a good friend of mine, he retired 1 week and he was dead the next week.
Mm.
So, and he was only 65. Like, that's so young.
Yes.
Hey, if you're 20, it's probably not young, but believe me, it goes like that and you'll be there before you know it.
Before you know it. Well, I guess the other thing that influenced a lot my life is that my father and mother have a 16-year age gap.
Okay.
So my dad's
your mother 16 years older than your father?
No, the other way around.
I know.
But my father turns 88 next year.
Wow, he's the same age as my mother.
Mm. And I'm 45 and I'm his oldest child.
Yeah.
He was
a mature adult when he actually had children.
And I kind of followed. I was a mature adult. I had my first child in my late 30s and then my second child at 42, which is how old Dad was when he had me.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting to see how young he still is.
Yes.
But how not young my mum is.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the reason is that he's been really well looked after.
And most Greek men are.
They are. Okay. But my mum has done a lot of looking after others, but not a lot of looking after herself. And so I think I'm very mindful of that in my life. And I'm not innocent of it in any way, but if you don't start, again, should have started 20 years ago, but I'm very happy that I've started now.
Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, and the thing is that if you're not going to start, you can start any time, but don't be under the misconception that you will retire and then start.
That's right.
Because it is a misconception. Because if you never have before, if you've never set boundaries, if you've never said no, and you've said yes to others and no to yourself, it doesn't start overnight. This is a process. It's creating a new commitment to yourself, and the commitment has good days. And the commitment has bad days. And it's a process.
It is a process. And I'm a great believer in actually not only being, I always say, I'm only in competition with yesterday me. Mm. But I'm also very aware of yesterday me. And I'm very aware of how she is progressing each day. And making sure at the end of each night, I reflect on the day. I look at everything that, you know, I would do exactly the same next time. I'd look at everything that I may change next time. And I like to look at what I've learned, either about myself or the world or others, now, to make sure that I am continually growing, that I am becoming the person that I want to be. And the only way we can do that is to keep track.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't keep track. And I'm not saying keep track on the nasty things in life. It's about keeping track on where you're at and how you're growing. Because when we reflect back of who we were, say, at the beginning of the year to who we are at the end, we can say, yeah, I've grown, I've learned a lot, I've done things.
Yeah.
But doing it daily, it helps you to grow even more. It helps you to see where you want to go and how you can close that gap continually.
And I have to say, starting my own business has really pushed the boundaries in so many ways.
But isn't that good?
Isn't it wonderful? So it should. And I think there is, I don't think there's an end date for that. I mean,
I think the end date is when you actually go on to your next adventure.
That's right.
Yeah. And on the other side, I mean.
On the other side, yeah, I got that.
Yeah. I'm just making sure that our viewers got that.
The beauty of it, well, if you, I'll be more clear. If you value personal growth, mm-hmm. you will always put that as a priority in your life.
And I honestly believe that you will be doing personal growth until the day you die.
Absolutely.
And if you're not, what's the point of living? Mm. Like, what's the point of living in what I love to call your Groundhog Day days? Because that's what I was like when I was in my CFO role. It really was, every day was the same. And what's the point of that? I know how to do that. So what's the point? Why not learn something new? And I'm not saying go bungee jumping or anything like that, but why not make sure that you are, as you say, having a joyful life?
Absolutely.
So what does joy mean to you, Maria?